Good evening, everyone. Let us practice our meditation session. Please find a comfortable posture. Keep your back straight. Gently close your eyes and relax your body. Take a few deep, long breaths. Release them. And relax your body, relax your mind. Feel your entire body . Let us start by practicing loving kindness. Send thoughts of loving kindness to yourself first. Please repeat these positive and loving thoughts in your mind. May I be well, may I be happy, may I be peaceful, may I be free from anger, may I be free from suffering, may I be free from jealousy, may I be free from danger, may I be free from illness, may I be well, may I be happy, may I be peaceful, Now, as we experience loving kindness, let us radiate the same loving thoughts to our friends. Sing the same thoughts to our teachers. Sing the same thoughts to our mothers. Send the same thoughts to our father. Send the same thoughts to our brothers. Send the same thoughts to our sisters. Send the same thoughts to our relatives. May my mothers be well, happy and peaceful. May my father be well, happy and peaceful. May my teachers be well, happy and peaceful. May my friends be happy and peaceful. Now send your thoughts to the wild world. May all beings be well. May all beings be happy. May all beings be peaceful. May all beings be free from anger. May all beings be free from suffering. May all beings be free from danger. May all beings be free from jealousy. May all beings be free from illness and injury. May all beings be well. May all beings be well. May all beings be well. Now slowly turn your attention to your breath. Every breath you take in and take out is taken mindfully. Focus on your natural, ordinary breath. Now observe your mind and observe your body. You think mindfully, breathe in, breathe out. Now observe your mind and observe your body. Your body is relaxed and your mind is calm and peaceful. Please bring your palms together in front of your heart. Make a wish for yourself. May I be well, happy and peaceful. May peace be with you. Thank you very much. Please open your eyes. Please open the chanting book number 4. Can I help you? Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddham saranam gacchami, dhammam saranam gacchami, sangham saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi buddham saranam gacchami, dutiyampi dhammam saranam gacchami, dutiyampi sangham saranam gacchami, tiyampi buddham saranam gacchami, tatiyampi dhammam saranam gacchami, tatiyampi sangham saranam gacchami. Nicca vata sankara upada vaya dhammino upajitva nirujjanti tesang upasamosuko sabbe satta avera hontu sabbe satta abhyapajja hontu sabbe satta aniga hontu sabbe satta sukhiyattanam pariharantu. Namo pubbangama dhamma mano setta mano maya manasache paduttena bhasati va karoti va තත්තෝනං දුක්කමං වේති චක්කංව වහතෝ පදම් මනෝපුබ්බංගමාදම්මා මනෝසෙට්ටා මනෝමයා මනසාචේ පසන්නේන භාසතිවා කරෝතිවා තතෝනං සුඛමං වේති ඡායාව අනපායිනි. Thank you very much. Now Laura will present her Dhamma talk.
Me? Hi. I'm Laura Meyer. My nickname is Lou. My friends and family call me Lou, so feel free to call me Lou. So I can't tell you when I started coming to the Blue Lotus Temple for sure, because that time period in my life was a bit hazy, and I'm going to get to that in my story in just a moment. But I can tell you that I took my precepts back in March of 2021, and I've been doing some volunteer work here at the temple, helping Rebecca and Tess out with some marketing. For work, I'm a real estate agent, and I'm so grateful to be a part of the Sangha. So thank you very much for everybody coming and listening tonight. And speaking of listening, that is the theme of tonight's Dharma talk. I've titled it Opening the Heart Through Listening. And this theme is particularly important to me because I'm very much still learning how powerful listening is in building relationships, offering, and honestly, I believe that listening saved my son's life. So let me start with that story. I have three boys, and they are now 22-year-old twins, and big brother is 23, and I was a single mom starting when my twins were 18 months old. So it was a lot to handle while they were growing up. But I did find a life partner about 10 years ago, so that's good. I do have some help now. But the boys and I were very close as they were growing up, and we were a fun family. I think we still are a fun family. We always did a lot together. We hiked, we went camping, we went to the zoo. One of our favorite things still to this day is going to movies together. We were really close. And as mom of three boys, all pretty much the same age, I was the boss. I'm a very hardworking person, a go-getter, and I managed everyone's schedules. I, you know, helped everyone overcome obstacles, doing homework, attended all their sporting events, and I was proud to be their mom. And I loved on them every day, and I did everything that I thought that a good mother should do. And my oldest son was always mature to, in my eyes, well beyond his years. And I think maybe because I was divorced so young, he kind of, you know, took that man of the house type role way too early. But, you know, he was a kid with an infectious laugh. He was odd and quirky, just irresistible in that way, and just very sensitive to all living beings and concerned about people. But in later adolescence, things started to change. And you're probably all sitting there saying, well, of course, teenagers. But it was extreme. And it was just a very, very challenging time for our family. His behaviors were extreme. And as a mother, I was obviously so concerned. I wasn't sure if it was, you know, just teenage angst, if it was drugs, if it was kids at school, if it was mental health. But it was very, very difficult, and it got worse, and it got way worse. And I was trying everything. I was trying to fix what was going on, and, you know, so I was implementing consequences for, you know, his behavior. So there was groundings, and, you know, I tried incentivizing, you know, to get him on track. I was looking for a therapist. He was in individual therapy, group therapy. There were hospital stays in all of this. And I was listening to him. I was listening to his suffering. Or, well, I thought I was listening to his needs. But I wasn't listening. I was listening with an agenda. I wanted to fix him to end my suffering with everything that was going on. And as his mom, I had this need where I felt I had to fix it, I had to try to manage this, and I was trying to control the situation. And, you know, as his mom, it was, you know, tell me your symptom and I'll give you the remedy. And my thought process really at the time was really, if you just listen to me, do what I say, I can solve your problems. Well, that's probably about the time I started coming to the temple, and I brought my sons with me, and my hope was that we could find some guidance and peace coming here. But back at that time, when I came to the temple, you know, I obviously knew what meditation was, but I didn't have it as part of my life in any way, shape, or form, and quite frankly, my mindset at that time was that meditation was not a productive use of time, that it was an inefficiency. It was, you know, what, you sit idle? There's so much to be done. Why could, you can't just sit there. So, and when I brought my son here, he needed the temple, not me, right? So as I started coming to the temple with my son, I started learning about the daily practice and listening to the monastics, and I think it was then that I really started learning about listening and listening without judgment. And I think that this is when I first began to realize the importance of listening in my practice, because we can never really know how another person is feeling. We can only imagine. So I really began to understand why it's so important to listen to my son and to others. And I began to realize that I needed to listen like it was the first time I had ever heard his problems. I needed to listen mindfully, without interruption, without preconceived ideas, without judgment, without interjection, in order to really obtain an understanding of his experience the best I could. But my inclination was at the time, and I still struggle with this, is to give advice. You know, when I was listening and he would talk, I would want to give advice and Or I would want to reflect back, you know, oh, I've suffered in that way, or I know somebody else who has been in similar circumstances, and, you know, was hoping that that would put him at ease or comfort him. But in my attempt to continually show that I had something to offer up to him, I wasn't listening. I was creating conversation, and in many cases, more conflict, because I wasn't truly listening to him. And I was constantly giving advice, and therefore I was shutting down the bond and the closeness that we had, and not truly listening to him. So I really then tried to make a shift to show my willingness to learn to listen. So as I've been coming to the temple, I was thinking about, you know, some of the key aspects of listening that are emphasized in the Buddhist teachings. So, and I'm just going to read a couple notes here, but right speech. So part of the Noble Eightfold Path, right speech involves speaking truthfully, kindly, and purposefully. It also involves listening attentively and compassionately, avoiding idle chatter and harmful speech. Mindful listening. In the practice of mindfulness, listening with full attention and presence is crucial. This means being fully engaged in the act of listening without allowing distractions or preconceptions to interfere. Compassionate listening, also known as deep listening, this involves listening with empathy and understanding, and listening with compassion that can alleviate suffering and foster connections between individuals. Learning and growth. So listening to the teachings, to the Dharma teachings, as a means to gain wisdom and insight. The value of listening to knowledgeable teachers and reflecting on the words to deepen one's understandings. So in that, I wanted to think about some techniques that and practical everyday applications that we can use for listening in our lives. So one of the habits that I have still is, and this is how I know that I'm not listening, is I will catch myself already formulating a response when I'm listening to another person talking. So therefore, I'm not truly listening. So I was wondering if you guys had any thoughts and ideas on what exercises can we think about to make ourselves or to enhance our listening skills. Is there anything that you do on a daily basis to improve listening? Yeah, I had noted here, embrace the silence, that's, I think, something, I think it's difficult for us. We want to fill that silence. We want to answer or try to respond for someone, but allowing somebody that, the other person, that time to think and to respond and not trying to fill that space. And I think also that allowing others to find their words can lead them to greater insights and then connection between you and that person for a truly transformative experience. Any other thoughts on how we can be better listeners. Yeah, I think that's a great one. Feeding them back what they have said so that that enables clarification either for yourself or for them. Again, deeper insights. And you can even then sometimes turn what they've said into a question so that they can further expand on what they actually meant for deeper understanding. That's a great one. Yes, absolutely.
Putting yourself in someone else's shoes, because you're not always going to agree on certain things, so just seeing it from someone else's point of view.
Yep, absolutely. That's a great one. Go ahead. For sure. And, you know, there's the obvious being present things, contact, et cetera, but I think one of the big issues we've had in society today about being present is just the phone. Like, not having that phone in your conversation when you're having a conversation with somebody else. The binging, the texting, it's just, I feel like we is being compromised. Any other thoughts?
This one is more of a question, but I don't know if you have any intel on it, but just being more confident in conversations and social situations.
So I actually had noted, to me, that's like creating the vibe. So, having conversation, listening, ensuring that, you're in a safe place and the first person feels comfortable. And I think confidence goes along with that. When you feel safe and confident, it's easier to communicate and certainly to be a good listener. And then, go ahead.
This is, I just kind of started working on this. I noticed that if I'm like with coworkers or somebody I'm not really close with, I'll really listen to them, look at them, and pay attention. But I get home with my wife, and something happens, she'll say something, I'll say what, or I'm going right to the fix it. So I just started to realize that I'm doing it and just kind of stop and take a breath. Like everybody was saying, just stop for a second. But just realize that I'm not there. You know?
Yep.
So I guess that's my first step, is trying to just kind of know what's happening.
Yep, that's interesting that you brought up your partner. My partner's not here tonight because he's home with our very ill dog, but when I was talking to him about my Dharma talk tonight about listening, he was joking that he was going to be, you know, sitting there going, bum, bum, you know, calling me out every time that, foul, no you don't. Yeah, but it's certainly sometimes I think a lot easier to listen to maybe people that are more good than the person that's always right there that you should be paying the most attention to. I also had noted setting the attention. So before connecting with others, knowing that you're going to show up to listen first and speak second, I think is also very important. So, you know, what is the impact of, you know, listening, Ben, on my daily life? So, you know, back to the story with my son, I'm, you know, very happy to say that, you know, the very difficult time, the scary time that we were in has for now passed. He has stabilized, he's doing well, he's living on his own in Milwaukee, and he is my best buddy. I talk to him every single day, sometimes more than once a day, but we're just very open and connected with each other, and you know, even though he's my son, he has taught me so much about being a listener, and that is again the you know, just a very precious relationship in my life that I am so grateful for. So in conclusion and reflection, I just wanted to reflect back on kind of what I thought were maybe the three themes about opening the heart through listening, and that's listening to the Dharma, regularly listening to and reflecting on Buddhist teaching to help us deepen our practice and our understanding, that mindful communication, engaging conversation with full presence without allowing those distractions, phones, to interfere, and empathetic engagement, so that compassionate listening to others with the intention to understand and support, listening to somebody without judgment and with empathy and attentiveness, to help people feel valued and connect and support their emotional well-being. Any other questions or comments?
Thank you. You've given me a lot to think about.
Oh, great. Fabulous.